Jeremiah, the prophet of God, warning the southern kingdom, Judah, about a pending invasion of the Babylonian Empire. In 721, the northern kingdom of Israel was conquered by the Assyrian Empire because of their sins. They rejected God. They walked away from God. They left the word of God. They wouldn't listen to the prophets of God. They worshiped at the feet of foreign idols. They engaged in all the immoralities of the world around them. They would not listen to God. They would not follow God. They would not obey God. And thus God's hand of provision and protection was removed from them. This is just history. This is exactly what happens to every nation. It is important for us to realize that this can happen to the United States of America, right now the greatest and most powerful nation in the world. Why are we existing the way we exist? Is because we have Christian, Judeo-Christian roots. And there is a remnant of Christians still strong in the United States of America. And America, slimly, still supports the nation of Israel. God says, I'll bless those that blesses Israel, and I'll curse those that curse Israel. More importantly, is that we worship God and the Lord Jesus Christ. But the only way to worship Him is to stay in His Word. It is in the Word of God where we find truth, the right way to live, and the Savior of our souls. Here in Jeremiah chapter 6, He says to Jerusalem, "Be instructed, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is the capital of the southern kingdom, Judah. There's two tribes to the south, Judah and Benjamin. The other 10 tribes of the 12 have already been destroyed, and they've been taken away captive into the Assyrian Empire, which now they belong to the Babylonian Empire because the Babylonians have conquered the Assyrians, and they're heading towards Jerusalem. They're heading towards the children of Israel. God has protected Israel. In 705 BC, God destroyed the Assyrian preparatory invasion that was going to take place against the southern kingdom. God said in the death angel, this plague that killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And the Assyrians decided, let's get out of here. We're going back. We're not going to mess with the southern kingdom, this God of Israel. And they left. Then the Babylonians take them over. The southern kingdom will fall in 586 BC because they would not listen to their prophets. They would not follow the word of God. They would vacillate back and forth. They would get right with God, and then they'd vacillate back to the foreign gods and the ways of the world. And then something would happen, and a good king would come along, and he'd lead them back to the word of God, and they would get back to the word. They'd get back to God, and then God would bless them once again. But then they'd drift away again. Well, there's going to be an ultimate drift, and God is speaking through Jeremiah the prophet, saying, the day is coming. What is the word? What is the lesson for us today? My friends, stay consistent with the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay consistent in the Word of God. Stay consistent in your life with God. Stay in God's Word and follow it with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. God will bless you. God will protect you. God will provide for you. God's hand will be upon you wonderfully and powerfully. Let's begin our reading, verse 1. O you children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee from the midst of Jerusalem. Blow the trumpet in Tekoa and set up a signal fire in Beth Hasarim. For disaster appears out of the north, that is the Babylonian invasion. A great destruction. I've likened the daughter of Zion to a lovely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks shall come to her. They shall pitch their tents against her all around. Each one shall pasture in his place. He pictures the daughter of Zion like a lovely and delicate woman. Let me ask you something. No offense to lovely and delicate women. But are usually lovely and delicate women very strong to fight back? No. They're not. And this is how he's comparing his people and the capital city of the southern kingdom. You're like a delicate, lovely woman. You've left me. You're weak. All you care about is just things of this world, and you're no longer a part of me. You're just like this lovely and delicate woman, and you're going to be wiped out by an invading army that is going to absolutely, absolutely destroy you. Blow the trumpet. Warn the people, Jeremiah. Declare to them that judgment is coming. What should they have done? They should have repented of their sins. They should have turned back to God. They should have become strong in the Lord once again. Their defenses would become strong. They had realized that God is with them and going to protect them and guide them and that he would fight for them. But instead, they wimped out. You know what? I don't want to sound like Mr. Hard Guy, but we can't have sissy Christians any longer. It's just the way the world is. It's the last days. Seriously? Are you kidding me? People have been burned and killed and beaten, their heads cut off and everything else because they believe in the gospel of Christ. Because they stood for righteousness. They weren't going to cower. They weren't going to run. They weren't going to be fearful. They're going to stand up for the name of Jesus. Amen. See, who am I as a Christian? When the times get tough, does the tough get running or does the tough get tougher? I pray you get tougher in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't mean we don't reach out in love. It doesn't mean we don't speak the truth, but you've got to become tough. You're going to face trials. You're going to face tribulations. It's going to come from the devil. It's going to come from his demons. It's going to come from people who don't like your Christianity. It's going to come from our own government. But you've got to be tough. Jeremiah is a tough man. He's the only guy crying out. Judgment is coming. Man, you got to repent. Nobody liked his message. 55 years, not one convert. That guy's tough. Would you get discouraged or what? Not one convert in 55 years. 10 years, 15 years, come on, Lord. 20 years, come on, Lord. 55 years. This guy's tough. You know why he's tough? He knows his God. And he's a man of the Word of God. The Word of God makes us strong. Problem with so many churches don't want to make a stand and pastors don't want to make a stand, I'm going to tell you straight up, because they're not in the Word of God. They don't believe it. They're not following it. They just tell you a bunch of stories. They walk away from the pulpit saying, it was a great day. I made everybody laugh all through the sermon. Now, I'm here to educate you and teach you the Word of God so you become strong, because there's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And you've got to take him out in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, I still got my water from this morning. Good. I didn't drink it, I promise. But anyway, I will now. All right, let's keep going. He says, verse 3, the shepherds with their flocks shall come to her. They shall pitch their tents against her all around. Each one shall pasture in his own place. Prepare war against her. Arise and let us go up at noon. Woe to us, for the day goes away. For the shadows of the evening are lengthening. Verse 5, arise and let us go by night and let us destroy her palaces. The Babylonians are coming. They're going to destroy everything there is in Jerusalem. For thus has the Lord of hosts said, cut down trees and build a mound against Jerusalem. This is the city to be punished. She is full of oppression in her midst. As a fountain wells up with water, so she wells up with her wickedness. Violence and plundering are heard in her. Before me continually are grief and wounds. Be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you, lest I make you desolate and a land not inhabited. Excuse me. So God brings forth these warnings to Judah and to Jerusalem. He is warning them. He's telling them to repent. And he's literally saying to the Babylonians, cut down the trees and build a siege mound against the walls. In other words, they have walls that surround the city to protect themselves. He says, just cut down all the trees around Jerusalem and lay them down, pour dirt on top of it, and you're going to go up as a ramp and over the walls. God is so angry with his people. He's telling the enemy what to do. Because they have so forsaken him, so rejected him, so rebelled against him. They're so full of wickedness and immorality and sin. And God says, I'm done. That's a tragic place to be, is it not? God forbid we'd ever be like that individually or even as a church. But yet, Jesus said to the church of Laodicea in the last days, remember that? I wish you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, what's he going to do? I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. That's disgusting. Vomit you out of my mouth. You're vomit to me. And yet, at the end of that passage in Revelation, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will open the door of their heart, I will come into them and I will sup with them. Instead of vomiting you out, you and I will dine together if you repent and return to me and open the door of your heart. This is the way of our God, full of grace and tender mercies every day for us. Come back to him. Amen. Be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you, lest I make you desolate and a land not inhabited. Thus says the Lord of hosts, verse 9, they shall thoroughly glean as a vine the remnant of Israel, as a grape gatherer. Put your hand back into the branches. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Isn't that sad? I remember years ago I heard some pastor say, oh, you guys at Calvary, you guys are into all that doctrine stuff. Yeah. You bet, man. We are into doctrine. Now, I'm not exalting us. I'm just saying that's what we're supposed to do as pastors. That's our job description, man. That's the job description from the Lord. When you sign up to be a pastor, you're to teach sound biblical doctrine. You're to teach through the whole Bible. That's your job description. If you got a pastor that's not doing that, he's not filling the job. Fire him. Or go to another church. Amen. I'm just telling you. Now, look, I don't want a bunch of pastors fired. I don't want people, you know. But come on, let's all do what we're called to do. This is from the commander-in-chief, from our God. He says, preach the word. Preach the word, the whole word, and nothing but the word. Amen. Jesus said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done unto thee. Well, if you're not in the word of God, how are your prayers going to be answered? So vitally important. Just read Psalm 1. Meditate in the word of God day and night. Proverbs 1, follow the word of God. Be wise. Psalm 19, the word of God is better than gold or silver or any riches. Yes, yes, yes. It's to be desired. We're to delight ourselves in the word of God. Truly is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. You see, this is what's so vitally important. But it's not just teaching the word, it's us living the word. Amen. So he says, behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Since I'm at it, don't pay attention to the shack. Okay? It's not biblical. So don't get all shacked out. No shack attacks here, okay? So I'll get a write-up on it, but I remember when the book came out and all these people, oh, the shack. Unbiblical, okay? So don't get into that. I haven't seen the movie, okay? I'm not a movie critic, but I can just tell you that maybe a nice story, whatever. But it's not, don't build your Christian faith on it, all right? Okay. So I had to get that out there. Verse 10, to whom shall I speak? Behold the word of the Lord. Verse 11, therefore I'm full of the fury of the Lord. I'm weary of holding it in. I will pour it out on the children outside and on the assembly of young men together. For even the husband shall be taken with the wife, the aged with him, who is full of days, and their houses shall be turned over to others, fields and wives together. For I have stretched out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord, because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. Isn't that amazing that in the religious system and their belief system, they were given over to covetousness? Okay, you're not going to like, or maybe you will. But anyway, someone's not going to like what I'm going to say next. The latest doctrine over the last, 20 years, 25 years, you know what the latest doctrine has been? Health and wealth preachers. Their doctrine is a doctrine of covetousness. You give God 10 bucks, God has to give you 100 bucks. You give to our ministry and your seed faith giving, and then God will bless you and give you money. You're the king's kid. You need to live like a king. Dogs have puppies and cats have kittens, and God has little gods. You're a little god. Just speak to your wallet and say, be filled. Isn't that hilarious? That's what they teach. Now, let me ask you this question. What false religion, I'm going to just let it all hang out. What false religion teaches that you are actually going to be a god of your own planet? Mormonism. Now, let's correlate the two. Health and wealth preachers say you're a little god. Mormons say you're going to become a god. Satan said in the Garden of Eden, you shall be like God. Are you a God? I'm not a God. There's only one God, and I will take no glory from him. So enough of this foolishness. These health and wealth teachers are trained in covetousness. Started with Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Frederick Price, and the list goes on and on and on and on. Creflo Dollar. That was a clue. Dollar. Okay. So beware, my friends. I'm just trying to get you to save your money. Because their whole message will start off real good. You get about a quarter of the way into it. Then it takes a turn and starts going about money. And pretty soon, it's about you giving to their ministry. And we're not going to... Oral Roberts was a classic. I'm not going to be on the air. Satan has got me hostage unless you give to our ministry. We need, I don't know what it was, $2 million. And we're going to go off the air. And everybody needs to give to our ministries. You know what I said? And others, Chuck Smith, get off the air. Get off already. Satan's not holding you hostage. Your eyes are bigger than your stomach. Stop this foolishness. Listen, what does he say? Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest. Ooh, there they are. Everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I set a watchman over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. For that purpose to me comes frankincense from Sheba, and sweet cane from a far country. Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet to me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall on them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus says the Lord, behold, a people comes from the north country, the Babylonians, and a great nation will be raised from the farthest parts of the earth. They will lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roars like the sea, and they ride on horses as men of war sit in array against you, O daughter of Zion. When you read daughter of Zion, just think Jerusalem, okay? We have heard the report of it. Our hands grow feeble. Anguish has taken hold of us. Pain as of a woman in labor. Do not go out into the field nor walk by the way because of the sword of the enemy. Fear is on every side, O daughter of my people. Dress in sackcloth and roll about in ashes. In other words, repent of your sins and return to me. Make mourning as for an only son. Most bitter lamentation, for the plunder will suddenly come upon us. I have set you as an assayer and a fortress among my people, that you may know and test their way. They are all stubborn rebels, walking as slanderers. They are bronze and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows blow fiercely. The lead is consumed by the fire. The smelter refines in vain, for the wicked are not drawn off. People will call them rejected silver because the Lord has rejected them. In other words, I'm trying to purify you. I'm trying to protect you. I need you to repent if you want me to work amongst you. But if you don't, the Bible says your sin separates you from God. If you have a practicing sin right now in your life that you keep practicing, keep practicing, keep practicing, my friend, your sin separates you from God. But I asked the Lord to take it away. Listen, you have to repent of the sin. That means you reject it. You turn from it. And you turn to live for God. But it's just such a part of my life. I can't give it up. You have to turn from sin and turn to the Savior. There is nothing impossible for God. You turn to Him. He's going to take care of you. But let's not excuse ourselves, amen? We tend to excuse ourselves. I can speak. I understand the strength of sin. Oh, man, it gets its clutches on you. It's like some really super strong hands that are just clinging to your body, and you can't get away. That's when you call upon the name of Jesus. The more you call upon the name of Jesus, the more you pray, the more you look to the Word of God, you're now taking the strength out of those forearms, out of those shoulders, and the strength of that sin is being removed because you keep fighting against it. You keep calling upon the Lord. You keep going to the Word of God. You keep obeying, and pretty soon that habitual sin has been broken. And now you have a habit for Christ and no longer for sin. But don't use this foolishness. Well, I've asked the Lord to take it away, but it's just not gone. So I keep sinning. Hey, you know what? You have to fight. Fight for what is right. Amen? But we deceive ourselves. We all deceive ourselves. We trick ourselves. Well, it's the environment I grew up in, you know. It's what my neighborhood, you know. I was in this neighborhood, we had all these things, you know, and all this stuff. you know, my parents, you know, and we excuse ourselves. We cannot excuse. Let's be honest, okay? It's my sin. I have to own it. I need to repent. I need to change. Amen. And then you know what? Bam, let's all go together. Let's do it. We're here for you. Chapter 7, amend your ways and your doings. You might say, is it going to get better? Not right now. Hold on. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord and all you of Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Did you catch all that? He's calling them to amend their ways, to turn and do the right things. And he actually tells them what the problems are. You oppress the stranger, the fatherless, the widow. You shed innocent blood. You walk after other gods to your hurt. Amend your ways. But here's the deal. Did you notice they said, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Here's the deal. I go to church. I go to church. So what's the big deal? What's the problem? I mean, I live like hell all week long, then I go to church. I'm okay with God. The temple of the Lord. I'm a Christian. I go to church. This is a building. It's a building, my friends. Coming into this building doesn't make you holy. Jesus makes you holy. Amen? See, he comes into your heart. The Holy Spirit comes in, and he changes you to live right before God. But some people think if they just plug in their time for that hour, the hour and a half on Sunday morning, I'm good to go with God. God knows. I attended church. Lord, I attended church 52 Sundays out of the year. Hey, there's 365 days. What do you do the rest of the time? See, God wants to love him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. Amen. And you know what? He says, notice what he said at the end. He says, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. I will bless you. I will take care of you. I'll watch over you. I will provide you. See, he's talking about the promised land. Remember when they came to the promised land? Joshua and Caleb went in with the other 10 spies. They came out and said, you can't believe this land. They've got huge vineyards, huge houses, huge cities, everything. I mean, it's unbelievable, the orchards and everything, and the fields, everything. And God said to them, he says, I'll give you orchards that you don't have to plant and houses you don't have to build and wells you don't have to dig. I will provide it all for you. You just follow me. Really? Yes. But instead, now they go after other gods. It's just amazing. Always think about the wonderful times you've had with the Lord as he's blessed you. If things are going astray, go to yourself, you know what? Maybe I need to amend my ways. You amend your ways, you'll see the blessings of the Lord back upon your life. It's the coolest thing. Go to verse 8. Behold, you trust in lying words and cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery? Swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know? And then come and stand before me in the house which is called by my name and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Has this house which is called by my name become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, says the Lord. Wow, where did we hear about that in the New Testament? Y'all know Jesus came into that temple, flipped over those tables. He says, you've turned my father's house into a den of thieves. It's to be a house of prayer. And he got a whip and he chased them out because they were extorting money from the people. They weren't receiving the sacrifices they were bringing and selling their sacrificial animals at a high rate of exchange. So you come in with your little lamb. Here's my little lamb. This is all I have. And they would look at that little lamb. The temple priests, those that ran the show, as they came into the temple courts, they look at that lamb and they, oh, yes, this is a nice lamb. Very nice. Oh, you know, see, right under here, right? See that spot? It's a blemish. No, you can't. We can't offer that to the Lord. But we have a little lamb over here. I know that lamb's worth about $30. Well, this is, sorry, but you got to pay $200 for our lamb. Otherwise, you cannot sacrifice to the Lord. And Jesus said, enough. Enough already. When the people came in, they exchanged their money from the outside where they lived to the temple coins, and then they charged them this exorbitant exchange rate. Jesus was fed up. You've turned my Father's house into a den of thieves. God forbid we ever become like this. But go now to my place, which was in Shiloh, verse 12, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel. Shiloh was the original place where they came into the land and they set up the tabernacle, and the Ark of the Covenant was there and so forth. And they would meet God at the tabernacle. It was the meeting place of God. But over time, they began to mess around with the foreign gods, mess around with the foreign people and all those things. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, the old Ark of the Covenant has been stolen. Wow. How did that happen? The Ark of the Covenant is stolen. Then down the road later, they'll get it back, and then they'll make Jerusalem the capital city. But Shiloh becomes a byword. It's done with. It's gone. God says, remember what happened to Shiloh? This is what's going to happen to Jerusalem. I fear for our America. This is what's going to happen to America. You're going to become a third world nation. Not. Be careful. I'm very concerned about the West Coast. And Mr. North Korea with his missiles he's been preparing for quite some time. Of course, we're kind of in the way of the West Coast. I don't know if he can hit us. I don't think he's a very good shot. But he might be able to hit the West Coast. Washington, Oregon, California. There's a lot of rebellion against God and a lot of sin going on. Now, the rest of the nation's not that much better. But some really drastic sins are really trending in these states. I suggest they repent and get right with God, along with Hawaii. Amen. Yes. Let's live for the Lord. Amen. Man, I love the protection of God. Carry on. Now, because you, verse 13, have done all these works, says the Lord, and I spoke to you, rising up early and speaking, but you did not hear, and I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore, I will do to the house which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to this place which I gave to you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, the whole posterity of Ephraim. Ephraim was the representative of the 10 tribes also to the north, as they were cast out by the Assyrians. Therefore, do not pray for this people, nor lift up a cry or prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. Do you not see what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead the dough to make cakes for the queen of heaven. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, says the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the shame of their own faces? Therefore, says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury will be poured out on this place, on man and on beast and on the trees of the field and on the fruit of the ground, and it will burn and not be quenched. They would make these cakes to the queen of heaven, what is this Queen of Heaven anyway? Looking to our notes, the Jews were worshiping Ishtar, an Assyrian and Babylonian goddess also called Ashtoreth and Astarte, the wife of Baal or Molech. Because these deities symbolized generative power, their worship involved prostitution. This fertility goddess, to whom the Israelites, especially the women, offered sacrifice and worship in the days before the fall of the southern kingdom of Judah. In the time of Jeremiah, many people in Jerusalem and other cities of Judah worshiped this Queen of Heaven. Their worship included burning incense and pouring out drink offerings to her. This was obviously a form of idolatry, but it is not clear exactly which pagan god was worshipped. Cakes were also baked in honor of the Queen of Heaven. These cakes may have been in the shape of stars, crescent moons, or the female figure. The worship of this goddess was one of the evils that brought God's judgment upon Judah, which we just read. The Queen of Heaven. Don't ever refer to Mary as the Queen of Heaven. Okay, she's been referred to as that in the Catholic Church. She's not a queen, and she's not the Queen of Heaven. She is Mary, the mother of Jesus, period. And she's a sinner saved by the Savior. She admitted it herself. She prayed unto the Savior in what's called her Magnificat. So it's important for us not to pray to Mary, not to worship Mary. Honor, yes, but not to pray to her or worship her. May I say to all Roman Catholics, never pray to Mary. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, he never said, ask anything in Mary's name. I'm just trying to lead you down the right path. Satan will always get us away from Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God, our Savior. Stay focused, stay straight, always pray to the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Because Satan, the Bible says that Satan has demons that produce a seducing doctrines. They seduce you. Oh, that sounds so good. Mary's so nice. She's the mother of Jesus. If anybody's going to listen to me, it'd be Mary, because she's the mother. And I can talk to Mary, and Mary would then grab Jesus by his little ear and pull him over and say, Jesus, you need to do this for this person. No, it doesn't work that way. It's always remember, Satan is always trying to lead you away from Jesus Christ through a Mary or through a Joseph or through a saint to get you to light candles to saints or whomever. No, that's not it at all. He also tries to discredit the word of God by saying, oh, you're not going to die and go to hell. There's a second chance. You'll go to purgatory. You're going to serve time in purgatory, and then you'll get a second chance. So, you know, God understands you can keep living however you want, but you'll get a second chance. This is a seducing doctrine of a demon. The Bible says, after you die, then comes what? The judgment. The Bible never speaks of second chances after death. It's this life, period. Come to Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, get right with God, and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's not follow these doctrines of demons that have infiltrated the Roman Catholic Church. It's very important that we stay biblical, always, always. I don't hate anybody, okay? So please don't take this as, oh, he hates Catholic. No. I'm just trying to straighten out your doctrine, man. Get to the Word of God, follow the Word of God. We're all in agreement in the Word of God. That's it. That's the key. Amen. All right. We find next, we go to verse 21. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat meat, for I did not speak to our fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore, you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. So you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. Isn't that a powerful statement? Truth has perished. You've come from monkeys. There was a big bang. And you evolved from a little speck out of the ocean. Truth has perished. Well, you were born a homosexual. You were born to be a lesbian. You were born to be a transgender. Truth has perished. Now, we ask ourselves, how has our society changed so much in the last 20 years? I think it's very simple to figure out. Television, internet, music has replaced truth, the Word of God. And the impressions, the visions, the life perspectives, the confusion upon young children has created them to doubt who they really are. They are made in God's image. If you're made a male, you're a male. And you're to desire a woman one day for marriage. If you're a woman, you're to desire a man one day for marriage. Now, granted, some people have gone through horrible atrocities growing up, from molestation to rape to sodomy, which has completely twisted their way of thinking. But what they have stolen is not to be stolen for life. If you come to God, God will show you your identity. God will show you that you're a man. God will show you that you're a woman. And you're to live for Him. Many homosexuals have come to Jesus Christ and are now married to women, gay men. And the same for lesbians. But the culture brainwashes people. They glorify sin. And it's this trend, it's a celebration of sinful ways. What's that guy that dresses like a woman? RuPaul or something like that? What? I don't know. But he's got his own TV show and does all this. And it's impressions that are placed upon children. Well, I'm not sure what I am, so maybe I'm a transgender. These are formative years as children are growing up to form their identity. We cannot lose the truth of who we are as a people. Now listen, once again, I want all people to come to faith in God, to believe in God, to believe in God's word. You are what He made you to be. It's in your genes, man. It's in your genes. You're a man, you're a man. You're a woman, you're a woman. If you have tendencies towards homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, you have to turn from it and turn to God. If you have a heterosexual and you have these trends in your life, to turn to fornication, sex outside of marriage, or adultery, you have to turn to God. Amen? That's dealing with sin, the wrong ways, the lies, the deceptions of the devil, of the world, and of the flesh. And you can only combat it through the Word of God. There is a tremendous antichrist spirit across the world right now that is against Christ, against God, against His anointed word. He says in verse 29, he says, truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. Cut off your hair and cast it away and take up a lamentation on the desolate heights, for the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of His wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, says the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire which I did not command, nor did it come into my heart. You're sacrificing your babies to these false gods, thinking that by doing that, you may receive prosperity or greater fertility or even greater purity. I remember when we did reports on Satanism in America and the sacrifices of babies that they would perform. One of their ideas was if we take the most precious and innocent thing and sacrifice it, it will give us longer life, greater strength in what we do. Such evil, such wickedness. Today, our altar of sacrifice is found in the abortion clinics because we worship the god of sex or the goddess of sex. Little babies are sacrificed. It's time for us as America to repent of our sins. We're all guilty. We're all guilty. We all need to repent and get right with God. Can I hear an amen? So I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm here to say we're all guilty. Let's confess our sins to God. Let's get right with God. Let's do the right things. Let's save babies. Let's have a government that wants to save babies and help women in their time of trouble. And men, make the right decision. The decision is for life. But everything we're reading right here is what we're living today. Can we not see it? Why do you study the Old Testament? We learn from the lessons of old so we don't keep repeating the same sins and face the same destruction. They have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when it will no more be called Tophet or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they will bury in Tophet until until there is no room. The corpses of this people will be food for the birds of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and no one will frighten them away. Then I will cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. We're going to stop here. I know you find it hard to believe. But we will stop here before chapter 8. I didn't get very far. These are incredible days we're living in, my friends. But you and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as men and women of God, God has called us to be the prophets of the last days. We read the Word of God, we study the Word of God, we follow the Word of God, and we want to lead others to the Word of God. Peter said, you must be born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. We're not joining a social club. We're not getting into a motivational organization to make money. We're coming to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who loves us and cherishes us, and he wants us to change, and he wants us to live for him, and he wants us to spread the gospel. And Jesus taught us, he says, I want you to preach, guys, I want you to preach repentance, and the remission of sins. Repentance. Turn to God and live for him, and you'll have the remission of sins. Your sins will be forgiven, a new life will be given, and you're going to be headed to heaven. And this is available for everyone on planet Earth. Let's stand and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name and we thank you for your great love and grace and tender mercies. Lord, we recognize that the days we're living in are like the days of Noah. It's like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. we recognize too, Lord, it seems like the days are not getting better, but they're actually getting worse. But yet you give us windows of opportunity to preach the gospel. You told the church of Philadelphia that you will open a door that no man can shut, that we are a church of little strength, but because we have kept your word and will not deny your name, that your hand of blessing would be upon us. So, Lord God, open the doors for us into the hearts of our families, our friends, our co-workers, that we would speak truth to them, that Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life, that the Word of God is the truth. From creation to salvation to eternal life. Lord God, use us in these last days. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Do you need to get right with God? Nobody looking around. Do you need to get right with God? Let's do it tonight. Turn to God with your whole heart. Say, God, I know I've been blowing it. And I ask that you please forgive me. As everyone's in prayer right now, if you need that, then just raise your hand right now. Saying, God, I'm the one. Right now, God. I want to get right with you. I want to love you. I want to serve you. I want to honor you. Anybody here right now? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God wants sincere, honest hearts. He's a loving Father. He's a gracious God. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. As you've raised your hand to the Lord has recognized your hand and he loves you and he wants to take care of you and he wants to bless you. And he's so proud of you right now. As you've come to him, he's proud of all of his children, but you know what? When we turn from sin, we turn to him, he's like, right on, you heard my message. I'm going to help you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to take care of you. Father, we pray that all of us together as one would serve you and honor you. We would live for you and we would help each other. Lord, we want to see homosexuals saved and lesbians saved and transgenders saved and we want our government saved, Lord God. We pray for their souls. We want this nation to turn to you with a whole heart. We want Muslims saved and Hindus saved and Buddhists saved, Lord, and Mormons saved and Jehovah's Witnesses saved. Oh, Lord, use us. Teach us. You say, my people perish for their lack of knowledge, and that's knowledge of the Word of God. Teach us, Lord, so that we are knowledgeable. So when we talk to people in our world, no matter what persuasion they're of, we be able to explain to them the truth of the gospel. So may we have a hunger and thirst for learning, for growing, for maturing in the faith. May your love abound. May your goodness abound. And may your truth abound. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, you guys.